for this information. After all, my father made a copy of all of his correspondence. How come no such letter from him to you appears in the his?
They
used a Xerox machine. No, they had, he had a scribe, you know, he had a secretary. The Noda Bihuda was careful to transcribe all of his correspondence.
Oh, I'm sure, but that means like double work.
Well, he had a secretary, so he may have had two secretaries. Huh? Yes, at that time and later, but these weren't printed. These were, yeah. V'chazaka l'chaver she'eino meniach davar she'eino mutukan. Certainly, ve'eich heniach ha'tshuva leheter v'sifro, why would he let the tshuva, which permitted this fish, to be eventually published in his collected works, v'lo chashla takala l'mochko, why would he not have at least removed it from the material that he left to be published? O lichtov b'tzido, or to make an annotation at the time, at the side of this letter, shechazarbo. Upshita she'ein malato neman bazeh, and certainly you have no credence whatsoever in this matter. Me'acha she'ein b'yado gufa yigeret, because you do not have possession of any such letter. U'machik edutol lomav she'shoch, and it's far-fetched. Your assertion, your testimony is far-fetched when you say, Shisholcho laharav mituv in Eva, that you sent this to the other correspondents and this letter got lost. V'gam lama lo hudia harav mituv ravim le'esor hadal nazeh. And if this is really true, why didn't the person who originally asked my father announce publicly that this is prohibited? Kol zehu lamofet shekvod malato shakar sheker ana v'shem adoni almi ravi ravi.
Wow. Rotten lie.
The rotten lie. Lachain tov v'yafeh shekvod ma'alato yishtok mizeh. So therefore you should keep your mouth shut. U'mitzvah shelo lomar davar she'eino nishma ve'she'eino lahamin. And it's best not to say something which cannot be accepted and cannot be believed. The davar pashut hu she'ein ma'alato ne'aman b'zeh de'ein echad ne'ed echad Ne'aman la'asor. Ki arav mitu ne'aman kishnayim. Ki chol makom she'ed echad ne'aman v'nitkablu dvarav harehu kishnayim ve'ein dvarav shel echad makom shnayim. V'afilu lo haya b'yadi ha'tek mitshuvat adoni avi mori rabbi agon. Well, even if I didn't have a copy of my father's letter, which I do have, gam ken haya arav mitu ne'aman lomar kezeh hetir li kloni achachav. ובפרט בשעה שמתפשט היתר על ידי הרב ניטו, הוא היה מילתא דאבידא לגלוי. Certainly when the permission had become widespread, it certainly would have become known שהיה עדי עדי ורבי זל בחיים החיותו. This would have become known while my father was still alive. היו יכולים לשאול את פיו, and they could have asked him. ובזה נאמן עדך לחולי אלמה. Okay, so that's the first part of this long tshuva. Well, I mean, so we're now in this situation. The chief rabbi of Moravia believes this guy, Grishapa, and sends a rather rude and nasty letter to Rabbi Choren, who was at that time the rabbi of Arad, and this is denied by his son, and a similar strong letter, which you can find in this pamphlet, comes from Rabbi Fleckless, who was the chief rabbi of Prague, and from other members of the Beit Din. And Rabbi Yehuda never changed his mind. And let's go on. Let me skip at the next paragraph. Whose motivation? Well, apparently. Well, let's take it in two pieces. Obviously, he and his community had not eaten this fish. They had considered this fish to be a non-kosher fish. And the fish looks strange, you have to admit that, in comparison to other fish. And there was, at this time, this huge fight going on about the who was really religious, who wasn't religious. This became a flag issue. And it became a flag issue because there were all these tensions between the three different communities in Hungary. The Jews that came from Galicia, the Greek Jews who came from Moravia, the Galician Jews who had moved into Hungary, who were the extreme, extreme right wing, and especially later on when the Hasidim moved in, like into the Szeged or into Satmar. Then you had the Jews who were moving in from Bohemia, and then you had sort of the middle.
But if Aaron Cohen pronounced it Sid,
yes.
And later, was his announcement, about the Sid simultaneous with his going over the edge to the reformers?
I do not know, and that's the key question. That is, I don't know which is the cart and which is the horse here. It's conceivable to me that's one possibility. In other words, one possibility is the one that you suggest, that he knew that the note of Yehuda had never changed his mind. So he knew that the rabbi of Fox was a fox, was lying through his teeth when he claimed that the note of Yehuda had changed his mind, and he knew that therefore the chief rabbi of Moravia, who was relying on this other guy who was lying through his teeth, was relying on someone whom he should have known was lying through his teeth. And here you have the evidence of the note of Yehuda's son, which certainly substantiates that, and therefore he may, as you said, have thrown up his hands and gone over the edge, and therefore by 1819 or 1820 had moved over to the reform. That's one interpretation of the events. The other interpretation of the events is that these guys suspected him from school days. That he may have, even as a younger man, had expressed various doubts and opinions that they found semi-heretical, and they were using this as a tool. So as I say, I don't know which is the cart and which is the horse here.
And who is Machmir?
Who?
He's the one that's
yes, but Aviva wants.
And you said that he was like the leader of the chain.
No. Rabbi Chorin, who permitted. We better have a list of players here. Who's on first and who's on second? Okay, the note of Yehuda permitted the fish.
Yes.
Rabbi Grieshaber, who's the rabbi in Fach, claims that the note of Yehuda changed his mind, and from the testimony of the son of the note of Yehuda, that was an out and out lie. Although, as we will see in later periods, they would say, how could a rabbi lie? Rabbi Aaron Chorin, who was a student in the Note of Yehuda's yeshiva, moved to Arad. I gave you his biography in the handout from last time. Moved to Arad, was a rabbi there. And he proclaimed the fish kosher because he found people in Arad, probably remnants of the old Turkish community, who were still eating the fish from the old Turkish days. And the new immigrants from Galicia or Moravia, whose custom was not to eat this fish, came in conflict with those. And he felt in his own mind that he had to decide this question. He could have sort of said, you eat the fish and you don't eat the fish. But for some reason or other, he had his Rebbe, the Note of Yehuda, declared this to be a kosher fish, and therefore he followed it and proclaimed it. Now, Aviva asks, why did they all jump on it? And I don't know the answer to this. That is, I don't know whether they jumped on Rabbi Chorin because of the fish, or they used the fish because they wanted to jump on him because they suspected him of moving to the left, which he did. He was the Matir.
They didn't jump on the Yehuda.
They couldn't jump on the Note of Yehuda. But the only thing that they could do is claim that he never said it, and if he did say it, he changed his mind. And I claim that we've heard that in our own days with respect to over again to with respect to Rabbi Soloveitchik.
My question is, it was not such a popular fish that certain to make a fight over.
Caviar.
Caviar, but who eats caviar today? Who can afford to eat caviar? In those days, what caviar was.
Okay. So, as I say, this is a problem of the cart and the horse, and I've thought about this problem for about 40 years, and I don't know the answer.
Well, were there other things that he was doing in that right at the same time?
No, as far as I can tell, we know what he was doing in Arad in this thing, and all evidence is that at least in the first 4 or 5 years of his being in Arad, which is including this period, he was a rabbi like any other rabbi. Traditional, okay? I can tell you what Mr. McCarrick has to say about it, but of course he doesn't read the original sources.
I think that you had mentioned, however, that the view is traditional, even already the outline.
No. In the Altner Shul, they used to have an organ, which they used to play in Kabbalat Shabbat. And in the Altner Shul, that's at least according to testimony that we have from the 15th century and 16th century. Huh? No, it was played before Shabbat. To this day, in the Altner Shul, they say Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat twice. The explanation of this is that they used to sing L'cha Dodi or whatever they would sing with the organ, and also the first time Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat, and then the organ would shut down, and they would... Certainly, by the time of the Nodav Yehuda, the organ was not functioning in the Altner Shul, but they kept on this practice of saying it twice, and then probably they had to invent this whole story of the golem and the Maharal Mikrag, because we don't have any evidence of this story prior to the middle of the 18th century associated with Prague or with the Maharal Mikrag. It was always associated with Rabbi Eliyahu Michelm in the 16th or 17th century. So there was some transfer of the golem story to Prague, which took place in the last third of 18th century, and it became, of course, firmly established in the 20th century, and sort of a mixed story in the 19th century. So somehow or other, these things are interrelated. That's getting us too far away from our main story. To this day, of course, the story of the Maharal Mikrag and his golem is well known, but it wasn't well known at the time of the Maharal Mikrag or for some 150 years. Thereafter, and it was referred to a different character altogether in Poland. But that's getting away from our subject.
Away from fish.
Okay. Huh? Different kind of fish story, right. Alright.
But do we have, as a result of this exchange,
mm-hmm.
as a result of this exchange,
did indeed, was Aaron current
then
on duty? With suspicion. But not necessarily out of duty. Mm-hmm. So when did this particular issue go? Before his death. No. This one was printed after his death. This was printed with the second
body. Right, so when was the second body?
I'm not sure. I can check that out.
Usually after the second run, you put it in touch with the printing. You have to rehabilitate your view of the Lecharina because you had to print the volume and the printing here.
Right. It didn't help, as we will see. Mm-hmm. I don't want to read this whole shiva.
sons responded publicly.
The fight got worse. I'm just trying to find something in here where he goes through some etymological discussion. I wanted something else. If I can find it, I will. I didn't mark this down. It's a long shiva, and I don't want to read the whole shiva. So he goes into a discussion of this. I want to read something else now. I now want to read a tshuva of Rabbi Bennett, not a private letter of Rabbi Bennett. The letter of Rabbi Bennett I had never seen before because I'd never had this access to this little pamphlet. Here is a tshuva of Mordechai Bennett in his book Har Hamor. So let's read this. And then we will see what happens later on. So this is to a Rabbi Getz. On Yud Bet. Higia li yadi hadag hakatan shtero. I got a copy of this, a specimen of this sterlet. Vihine ma'ashuv sholchai davar. What can I answer? Atik lashon haramban. I will copy the words of Ramban. Umi asher einav lo ilahakir ha'emet, and anyone who has eyes in his head to recognize the truth, yavin. Zel shono, this is the language of the Ramban. Snapir v'kaskeset, snapirin elu hashat bahem. The snapir is the fin, something that the fish swims with. Kaskeset elu ha'kubuyim bo lashon rashi. V'hein hu v'abigim ha'rabban sechat kulim. You should not imagine that the scales, the kaskeset, is actually part of the flesh and stuck to the skin of the fish. They're called fixed. These are not, the fish does not swim with them and they don't move. These are the round shells, shegilda domal tziporen, whose matter is like that of a scale, shehen nishatim me'or hadag v'yado v'sakim. Aval kol shehu kavua v'davuk la'or hadag, he's still quoting the Ramban, anything that's fixed and stuck to the skin of the fish, ve'eino ne'edamina or klal, eino kaskeset, that's not considered a scale, uva'alav asur. That's why in the Gemara it says that a kaskeset is a form of garment. From his language it's clear. There has to be skin under the scale. Now let's think about this. Small fish whose scales are thin and the scales are fun. Shafilo may or at smoy holding the cloth bakal. Masiman ye lo a yedeze she holding the cloth imenu haklipash, zahumach rakutahu. Gam ein lo masha simanim hu masha ra'inu tachteha or shalem, and also the sign cannot be that we see complete skin under this. Rak nishtane mishchorot lo lubunuta, but just that the skin has changed from being dark to light. Uviotano dukan mamash lo nishachat em no, shize eno, shikva hiveti mamash im lashen haramban, shilo kol haklipot yesh or tachteha b'mkoma. El al kochach הרוצל לסמוך על הסימן צריך להבחינו בדג שכבר נתקשה האור וגולדו אר, you have to deal with an adult, שאז ויותן שקליפתן דרוקים באור הדג, אין קליפן אותן Ain't miklaf yenotam, shahelik has keset the ain't nashatim li oh dog. If in the adult these scales don't come off, then the dog is prohibited. Vayikar nirah lafareish the kavanat Ramban, v'masha katav shatsiman divukutam ba'oh hadag utzonim lo ba'oh hadag shemisaviv haklipa. This is talking about the scale, the skin which is surrounding the scale. Hikach ein roim shakaskeset yesh lo revach mitzad echad. ולפנים אינו דבוק מצידו, לאחרו יש לו בית מושב באור הדג שהקסקסת תקועה בו, ועל ידי חן נשפטים מאור הדג. He claimed, Ramban must mean that these scales have a portion, like our fingernails, which is disjoint from the skin and is attached to the skin only in the rear, like the scales of most fish. אבל קליפין הדבוקים יש לו מה שאין להם רווח משום צד רק דבוקים באור מבחוץ מסביב if the scale is such that it's surrounded in all places יש לו מה שאין להם רק משום צד שאין לו קלות והקליפה כי אם שחותך או קוראה בתחילת האור מסביב המחברו in such a case you have to cut the skin which is surrounding it והנה הדרגים האלו יראה הרעות שמחוברים הקליפות דבוק עצמו באור הגב מסביב ונתעדכו ממש באופן שאי אפשר לקלוב כי אם בחתיכת לקויה מתחילתו כן נראה לידעתי שהוא עיקר הפירוש ברמב"ן עד הנה. So the interpretation of the Ramban is that if the scale is surrounded 360 degrees by skin on all sides, that's what the Ramban means that the scale cannot be removed. But if the scales are overlapping one another, like in the normal fish, then that's what is required to count as a scale. Okay? Of course, this is his invention, that is, this is his reading in the Ramban. Nobody ever said this before. V'hinei lu yiyeh she'eshar v'kavanat ha'Ramban al derech acheret, even if you might have another interpretation in the Ramban, mikom akan man Man safun, man raki, I don't know that phrase, lahatir milta de loid baralan hetera. Even if you might have some other interpretation of the Ramban, why should you rely on this to permit something? Well, lo yiyeh ela safek, those are the ones with scales.
There's no real explicit statement anywhere that.
It does say that for kosher fish you have to have scales. Safek d'oraita, since we don't know exactly what the Ramban means as a safek d'oraita, if a culture came with the davar shekvar nohug l'isur v'kama miyot shanim, especially in something which has been customary to prohibit for many hundreds of years, v'lo nishma v'lo nodam me'olam shehaya mi shematir ad zvanenu, that no one permitted this until these times, shechshav Dari, that our generation is so much better than the previous generations in sarcasm. V'shomim lahakel amidi deleta b'mamash. Now, Masha, they relied to permit something with no real arguments. V'hine al b'dikat rosh agul kvar poskam v'rov poskam l'mushein somchim alav al b'dikat chot hashedra shitzidet b'dikash l'smoch alav. כבר הנביא אותו זל מעצמו, החולקים על זה, וגם הוא בעצמו מעצב וישס מביקש לו חברים ולא נמצאו ולא תוכה עצמו לדבר הלכה למעשה. ועל הבדיקות סימן הזנות סדוק, כבר חלק הפריל חדש שלו לסמוך עליו, והנה הבדיקה במים חמים שהוזכה באוהל מועד, and certainly this investigation with boiling water that was mentioned in our first shiur in the oil moed, שתיקו הפריל חדש, וסמכו עליו הרמב"ן ורבנותם יראה רואים להתמרירי שנשתיירו הקסקסים במים מעצמם. So now he's giving a new interpretation to the Ol Moed, that the Ramban investigated these fish by putting them in boiling water and then finding that the scales fell off by themselves. Not that you removed them from the fish after boiling. Okay. אבל וכגון זה שלא היו דבוקים דבוק אחד באור מסביב, אבל אין לנו ראיה שיועילו מים רותחים אם באנו לחלפון אחר כך בידיים או בכלי. כי ודאי אינו סימן כלל כל ידי הרתיחה, הקליפים חל מחמת, something with letter missing which I can't look, V'hirehu kvar yatsati chutz migidubi ketalmir acholek al habal. That is, he knows that he's disagreeing with his rabbi. Kedei lafushi miyisura. Aval ani ha'hu ro'eh shekvar kachasha ha'emet ben edara ו'ורא התנופה מחפץ הניצוח נהדרה ומייתה לא עליי המלחמה לגמרה אשים עליי לפי מחסום עד ישקוף ירב השם בעינינו הניות החלטתו ויעמידנו בקרב הרב יהיה שלום למעלתו. Okay, so from the last sentence we can see that the people even in Moravia were already eating this fish on the basis of the Heter of the Note of Yehuda, and he says this fish is definitely prohibited. And his arguments are, A, that the Ramban means that there is a portion of the scale which is not covered by any skin, but which is simply overlapping other scales. And, of course, the Ramban didn't say this. And, in fact, as we know, all fish scales are at least covered by some layer of epidermis, because the layer of epidermis that's over the scales produces the slime which protects the fish as it swims. So his physiology isn't 100% accurate, but his reading of this into the Ramban is something that nobody said before or after. And second claim that the Ramban, it's true, boiled a fish, but he insists that the scales fall off on themselves, something which we certainly did not find in the Ramban or
creative writing.
And thirdly, of course, the Ol Maod explicitly says that the Ramban permitted a fish whose name was Asturion, and there can be little doubt, I mean, that fish refers to dispersion, because that's the name of the fish, and it was a common fish. There always is a problem with fish names, because sometimes fish names change from region that is the same name of a fish. Let's say the burbot, which is a fish that Rabbeinu Tam discusses in Europe, is not the same fish as the burbot that we find in the United States. So there's some argument to say that the you can't rely 100% on the name of the fish, but in something like the sturgeon, I think that you can. And that there's no question that the Ramban committed the sturgeon, and also there's a quote that Rabbeinu Tam committed the sturgeon. Okay, so what we can see in answer to your question is that at least in Moravia, not in Hungary, where the situation was far more complicated, people were beginning to eat the sturgeon on the basis of the mother of Yehuda's heter. So this was instead of a violent letter, like the one that he wrote to Rabbi Choron that we read at the beginning of this session. Here is an argumentative letter, as you say, a certain amount of creative writing, reading into the Ramban various things that the Ramban certainly didn't say, in order to justify an ancient prohibition against this fish. But the common practice in his day, from the last two sentences, we can see at least in Moravia, even where he was the chief rabbi, was to eat this fish. But in Hungary, this remained a serious bone of contention, especially after Aaron Choron had become the advocate of the reform movement. And as you all know, Hatam Sofer regarded him as his chief enemy within Hungary. He called him Aaron Chorina Rabina, the initial letters of which are Acher, in memory of the Acher. Yes. So let me just say I'm out of time. I will not be able to read the next few tshuvot, so we're going to have to spend at least one portion of the next tshuva on the continuing with the study of the sociology of fish, and because I do want to read a tshuva of the son of the Chatam Sofer, the Ketav Sofer, which brings us sort of to the middle of the 19th century in Hungary. And then I want to read a tshuva of Rabbi Hoffman, the Malamed Lahoil, who had moved from Hungary to Germany and therefore represented still the Hungarian tradition as far as this fish is concerned. And I also want to read at least one more tshuva, and that is the tshuva of the Marsham, the Mordechai Shwadron, who was the leading posek in Galicia at the end of the 19th century, where in no uncertain terms he declares the sturgeon to be, the sterlet to be a kosher fish. And gives very strong arguments. But I must say, even there, I mean, there's no doubt that the fish that the Maharsham refers to, which he refers to as chichiha, which is the Ruthenian version of chichuga, which is the Polish version of the scarlet, he, as we will see, if you permit me to spend one more shiur on the sturgeons, and maybe a bit of an exaggeration, much to spend four shiurim on one fish, but let me just finish. I just want to say that in my correspondence with other rabbinical authorities, and after all, who can dispute with the Maharsham? He's the great leading posek of Galicia. We all use his shuvot all the time, even though, as we will see next time, the Hungarian rabbis didn't like him too much. They say, how do you know this is the same fish? When one is arguing this point and one has a preconceived notion, there can be no doubt. But the position of Rav Mordechai Bennett is the one that the OU takes, and has become a sort of a semi-flag issue here in the United States between the Orthodox and the Conservative, even though the Galician Jews up until 1950, maybe even further, used to eat sturgeon at the kosher delicatessens in New York and in Washington.
Okay. And
in Chicago.
The OU forbids that it's not
right. So Rabbi Bennett has the last laugh in the United States.
And in Israel.
The situation in Israel is much more complicated because, let me just say, I got an inquiry from the person who's in charge of the Kashrus division of the chief rabbinate in Israel about another fish, what my opinion was on the blue marlin. Now, I've never seen a blue marlin, so I could not respond to this. Here it's a game fish, but if you go to Wolf's Fish Store, you can't buy it. It's not a... But the Japanese like it in sushi, and with the popularity of sushi in Israel, this has become a question. It's still open. I certainly can't render an opinion until I see a fish, and I have to go down to Florida or someplace.
I have it hanging over some fireplace.
To see one. But my correspondent, the OU declares this to be a non-kosher fish. Rabbi Vosner, who has shown a specimen of this fish, and he's certainly the extreme right wing of the poskim in Israel, declared it to be a kosher fish. So... But that position has not yet been taken by the chief rabbinate because they're afraid of the OU. So, No, and the OU makes this decision on the basis of at the Museum of Natural History. I've forgotten his name at the moment. So, but we won't get to that fish, I don't think. I mean, I want to spend... I don't think we'll get to the blue marlin because I have never seen this fish, and therefore I can't give an opinion. The swordfish, which I do hope to spend at least one or two shiurim on, is an entirely different question.
Have you ever seen a swordfish?
I was asked by Rabbi Soloveitchik, it must be 40 years ago, to write a position paper for him on the swordfish. And that was complicated because I had to find a juvenile. That is, I had to actually go out to the Stanford collection of fish. It was still at Stanford before they stupidly got rid of their fish collection. And I examined that. But let's postpone that for 2 weeks.
When was this then at Federation?
Around, I would guess, 10 years maybe after this event. I don't know the exact time of publication, but it's easy for me to find out. The book was published. He died. I gave you his biography. He died 1889 or something like that. But this became one of the big flag issues between the Orthodox and the Neologs in Hungary, I mean, the other big flag issues were shaving during Chol HaMoed, if you remember, and issues also permitted by the Nudi Yehuda and cancelled by the Chatam Sofer. So we'll come to all of this. But as I say, I've thought about this question. I haven't seen this correspondence, that is the letter from Rabbi Bennett to Rabbi Horanach. I only saw after I was able to locate this pamphlet in the bowels of Widener Library. It took me quite a bit of effort to actually find it. So I haven't seen that, but of course I knew this whole story, and the question that Aviva asked, namely which is the cart and which is the horse here, is a question that I've pondered about for about 30 or 40 years and don't have a clear answer to, so we can leave it at that. But I want to know what the tick is.